The following program is sponsored by Friends of Life Outreach International.
Coming up on Life Today, 4 years after Kimberly Haar divorced her husband due to infidelity, she experienced a night of sheer terror.
My ex-husband was intoxicated. He had a gun in his hand. And for the next 4 hours, I was assaulted. Following the assault, he told me as punishment for ruining his life, I was going to have to watch him as he murdered Andrew. And so he kidnapped me and took me to Andrew's house.
Well, I know I've told you many times, if you've watched Life Today, Betty and I are here for you. You watch us go all over the world seeking to put God's arms around the most overlooked people on the planet, the least of these, Jesus called them. But we come here every day to get God's arms around you and inspire you to get God's arms around others and to help us put God's arms around the overlooked. We have a very, let's say, a tragic situation turned into a miracle. Kimberly Haar is she's a therapist, but she says she's really a hope giver, and she really is a life helper, a marriage helper, a life family helper, and she's been through it. She has a book called Healing from Life's Deepest Hurts, and boy, does she know. So I want you to listen today, because she'll basically touch on everything that could possibly have touched you to help bring pain, or to identify with at least the pain that you could identify with. And you want to know, where's the hope, where's the help? Well, that's what Kimberly talks about. Kimberly, welcome to Life Today.
Thank you for having me. It's such an honor.
Well, we know a lot of people, and you know our grandson and his wife and family, that is the son of our daughter that's in heaven. Mm-hmm. And when she left, he was not yet, he'd just gotten out of high school.
He's in college. Yeah.
And the other two, we were there to accept Mom's rose, because Mom was in heaven. But you know Chris and his beautiful wife and his family.
I do.
And I know you love him. Okay, I want you to take off, Kimberly. Just tell our viewers why you understand pain and the real need for hope.
Yeah. You know, I like to pick it up in 2013, when I had been married 23 years, and I made the hardest decision of my life, and that was to end my first marriage. And what had happened is my first husband had struggled with infidelity. And in 2013, I learned he was in an affair. And I decided I could no longer stay in my marriage. So I made the decision to divorce. And at that point, really struggled with feeling like I had a label on me that said I was damaged, defective, disqualified, God couldn't use me. And I took the next 4 years to raise our youngest children. We had four children. Mm. Our youngest children were 15. And I decided I was going to take the next 4 years and just focus on being a mom, do my own journey of healing. And when they went to college, then I would focus on myself. And so in 2017, I woke up and I felt a stirring in my heart. And I heard the Lord telling me, this is the year you're going to be married again. And I thought, well, okay. And I was 50 years old, and I thought, where does a 50-year-old woman go to meet somebody? And so I started dating again. And on April Fool's Day, I met a man by the name of Andrew. He was an engineer. And I just knew right away, this is the man I was going to marry. And he knew it too, because he told me after 2 weeks, he said, I've asked Google how long you need to know somebody before you know you're in love. And so he wanted to make sure he was doing it right. And so he told me, he goes, you know, I want to marry you. And everything was amazing. 4 weeks after we started dating, my ex-husband called me and he asked me if I would come talk to him about our adult children. Mm. That was not uncommon, because we'd had a friendly divorce. I went to his home and he looked at me and he started talking about us reconciling. Mm. And I said, it's too late. I said, I've moved on. You need to move on. And he said, well, maybe I need to go have a talk with that man. And I didn't understand what that meant because I'd never talked to him about who I was dating. But when I left my ex-husband's apartment that day, I called Andrew and I said, can I stop by your house just for a minute? And I asked him, I said, Andrew, would you fight for me? And he said, well, of course I would. And I said, why? And he goes, because you're worth it. And in less than 24 hours, Andrew was not just going to be fighting for me, but he was going to be fighting for his life. Because I left my, Andrew's house that night, and I went home and something stirred in me and said, lock your bedroom door. Now, I lived alone. I had locked my house many, you know, every night, but it was not common for me to lock my bedroom door, but I listened to that voice. And so I locked my bedroom door, and at 2:30 in the morning, I woke up to the sound of my bedroom door crashing down off the hinges. My ex-husband was intoxicated. He had a gun in his hand, and for the next 4 hours, I was assaulted. Following the assault, he told me as punishment for ruining his life, I was going to have to watch him as he murdered Andrew. And so he kidnapped me and took me to Andrew's house. And when we got to Andrew's house, my ex-husband looked over at me and he said, now you go do whatever you need to do. He left the keys in the ignition. He got his gun, he got the bullets, and as I was making a getaway to go get help, I heard three gunshots, and I knew there was no way Andrew was going to survive. So I made an escape, went to a super center. Police and ambulances were dispatched, you know, to me, but also to Andrew's house. And I would later learn that Andrew had been shot 10 times.
Oh my gosh.
I was in the emergency room, and we were in two different hospitals, and he was under an assumed name because it was a crime scene. And so I couldn't find him. And his adult son called my phone, and he said, we just think that you guys need to go your separate ways.
Oh, wow.
And my heart sank. And so for the next 5 to 6 weeks, I would not hear from him. I went and I lived at my uncle and aunt's home. They gifted me their home for the summer. And when I went there and they were giving me a tour of their home, there was a beautiful big pergola in the backyard with swings and a big cement floor. And something stirred in me, and I knew it was kind of like in the Bible when Moses sees the burning bush and he takes off his sandals because he says this is holy ground. I knew this was going to be my holy ground. I knew this is where I was going to go out every morning. I was going to meet Jesus, and I was going to begin my healing. And that's where my healing really began, is at that pergola outside on the cement floor.
Wow.
You know, he can pick us up in the most unbelievable situations.
But you weren't allowed to even check on Andrew? Did he know how
I didn't have, you know, I didn't. He was in and out of hospitals. He was in and out of surgeries. So as far as I knew, our paths had
Severed,
ended.
Yeah.
And when I went to the pergola, you know, I wrapped myself in a big green blanket. And I remember my first prayer. I told the Lord, I said, I'm so broken. I said, I am so empty. I don't have words to pray. And I remember the scripture in Zephaniah that says, God rejoices over us with singing. And I asked the Lord, I said, I'm asking, would you breathe life back into my body and would you sing over me? And I began playing praise and worship music, and I let those words become my prayers. And I began trying to tell God what to do, when to do it, how to do it. And I told the Lord, and it would make a great testimony. But I finally had to really get real with the Lord and myself, and I told the Lord, I'm scared to trust you, because what if you don't give me what I want?
Wow.
And I got to a place where I said, Father, I'm going to surrender. I'm going to surrender my will. I'm going to surrender control. And I brought the Lord all my emotions. I told him I felt abandoned. I felt angry. And God, in his loving kindness, didn't rebuke me. He didn't tell me to get my act together. He welcomed me with open arms and just wooed my heart. And it was the most amazing love story of the Lord just drawing close.
You know, I said something in the early part of the show about putting God's arms around people that are hurting. And when you were saying that, the Lord just said to me, when my arms are around you, that's healing.
Mm. Yes.
That begins a healing process that is truly supernatural. So that happened. Now then, what happens with you and the shot up guy?
Yeah. Well, let me just say real quick that when you talk about the arms around you, I told the Lord, I said, I'm going to give you a sacrifice of praise. I said, I'm going to lift my hands when my heart is heavy. And I played a song and I closed my eyes and I waltzed. I'm not a dancer, but I waltzed around my little cement floor and I imagined Jesus' arms just holding me. And so it was 6 weeks later and I was at the pergola and I looked down at my cell phone and there was a message from Facebook Messenger. I've never been so thankful for Facebook Messenger because his kids had taken my phone number out of his phone. Oh. And his message said, hey, I'm alive. Mm. Well, now how do you respond to that? I was like, yippee. And I said, can I come and see you? And he said, no. He said, I'm getting ready to go into the hospital. I've got another surgery. My wounds are infected. He goes, I'll contact you in a few days. And he ended it by saying, take care. And I thought, what does that mean? Does that mean goodbye? But I just waited. And it was probably about 4 or 5 days later, and I got another Facebook Messenger post, and it said, a visit would be nice. He said, but come when my kids aren't here. And so I'm 50 years old, and I'm sneaking around at the hospital with adult kids. And I opened Andrew's hospital room, and I asked him, I said, where does this leave us?
Yeah.
And he looked at me and he said, I don't know. He said, I've seen all the felony counts. He goes, I know what happened to you and you're gonna be messed up. And he goes, I know what happened to me and I'm gonna be messed up. And something came over me. I shook my finger in his face and I said, Andrew Haar, you will never meet another woman like me. And 4 weeks later, we were engaged. 4 months later, we were married. And we have now been married 8 of the most wonderful years. We've blended 2 families, and we're kind of like the Waltons. And God has just been so faithful to us.
Okay. You have written the book, Healing from Life's Deepest Hurts. What are some of those hurts that you want people who are watching us right now to know? God's loving arms, God's presence, His power, His Spirit can heal every area.
That's right. You know, it doesn't matter what the hurt is. Hurt doesn't have to be dramatic in order for it to be trauma. It's just something that impacts us. I like to say pain is pain is pain. And in the beginning, it's normal for us to want to pull away when something hard has happened. And that's exactly where the enemy wants us to be. Because he wants to isolate us where he can tell us his lies that say, God doesn't love you.
That's right.
Life is over. It's not going to get better. And we partner with the devil's lies. And so one of the tools I talk about in the book is the importance of getting wise counsel, getting good, godly community around you, because we heal in community. There's tools in there about forgiveness. Because, you know, we all go through opportunities when we don't want to forgive. Because when we've been hurt, we don't want to forgive. But unforgiveness, I like to say it's like an umbilical cord of anger between you and the event that's happened, the past. And it holds us and it keeps us connected. And to really be whole, we've got to cut that cord. And so some of those things that I tell people is bring your pain to Jesus. Don't run from Him, run to Him. And when you do that, healing, it's not necessarily just linear where it's just every day is better, every day is better, because sometimes I'd have a better day and then there was a bad day. And it's just making sure you do the next right step and just keep doing that and the healing does come.
Well, the wonderful thing about it is God knows exactly what we need at the moment we need it, just like you talked about His arms around Him.
Absolutely.
His gentleness. He knows when to give His gentleness through His love and His care. He knows what the pain's like that we're going through.
Yep.
So he never misses, does he?
Yep. You know, some people will ask me, I'm a therapist, a lot of my clients will say, where's God when bad things happen? And I say, He's there. He's there. You know, when it was in between the time I'd been assaulted and kidnapped, and I sensed God's presence in the room. It was a sad presence, but it was like He was saying, hold my hand. I am not going anywhere. I am staying right beside you. And in that moment, all fear left because Psalm 23 came alive. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'll fear no evil, but you're with me.
You know, when you forgive someone, the healing begins in us, and that's the great part that the enemy can't in any way hinder. But there may not be a change that you see in the person you're forgiving. But were you able to forgive your husband that shot your new love up?
You know, the last words I spoke to my ex-husband, it was before he kidnapped me. My face was unrecognizable. And he looked down at me as the intoxication wore off. And he said, tell me the truth. I've gone too far. There's no going back. Goodness. You could never forgive me. And I looked up in his eyes and I said, you're right. You've gone too far. There's no going back. I said, but I will forgive you. And those were the last words I've ever spoken to him. It doesn't mean I forgave him that day, but I was declaring over myself that day, I will be a forgiver, I will be healed, I will be whole, I will do the work. And yes, I absolutely have been able to walk that journey and say, Lord, I forgive.
And the two of you are having a truly supernatural, amazing journey and relationship.
And my new husband and I, yes.
Yeah, and I saw him out here, and he had scars. You could tell he was all shot up. And boy, but God miraculously worked in him, but he miraculously worked in the two of you. Now, as a therapist and as someone who's experienced things people would never, ever, even though they may have had some really challenged lives, they know that you've been through it. Do you believe that if people would read the book, that you walk through those steps of pain and the things that they need to lay at the feet of Jesus, let him put his healing arms around them. Do you believe that if they'll go through this, they're going to get hope and healing?
Absolutely.
Even in the wisdom that they get?
Absolutely. You know, the reason I wrote this story was to pull back the curtain and say, life hurts all of us and God heals. Yeah. And so it was to say, you know what, I share my journey in the first part of the book so that they can see, hey, I've gone through this stuff too. But that last half, it walks people through things like grieving and forgiving and community and getting back to a place of joy.
That's wonderful.
You know, I want to ask you to just take note, healing from life's deepest hurts. You may think you got the deepest. Well, there's healing from life's deepest, truly deepest. And there's one healer that can handle it. And it's unbelievable the life that I went through as a child, you know, being given away, had in the paper, no home, living on alleys and dumps as a 5 to 10, 15-year-old. I mean, just the thing God could take us through. And the joy and the peace. And Betty and I, every day, I mean, we're together, we're each other's helper.
We are.
We hold on to one another. You know, we're each other's caretaker, so to speak, and we love it. We just can't even imagine having greater joy. I mean, we've been together, we've been married 62 years nearly, and we've gone together in love 65 because we dated all those years. Here's the deal. We find such joy, we find such peace. And we know it's for you. And that's the reason we're here every day. We're not looking for a place to go. I've preached more times than perhaps anybody in history, to more people than anybody. I mean, I've been all over the world, but I'm here for you. Betty's here for you. We're not looking for a place. We're looking for people to help get God's arms around them. I believe if you read the book, I believe it'll bless you. So let me just say this to you. We're giving you power, provision, and peace. And that's for any gift to help us set people who've been trapped in sexual trafficking, set them free. We're going to send that to you. We have other gifts to send you when you put God's arms around the trafficked and help us set them free. If you'd like to have Kimberly's book, well, you just say, I'd like you to send it to me. You make a gift to help us set people free, and we'll gladly send it to you along with the other gifts. I want you right now. I want you to look and listen in prayer and say, God, speak to me. Flow your miraculous healing love through me like a river. And he will. Watch closely, and then you release the river.
You know, the old lady, they feed the small girl for the help sick with the foreigner. They pay money a lot for the, they need for the steel virgin.
Human traffickers target innocent children who then become enslaved in a multi-billion dollar a year industry called the sex slave trade.
A human trafficker came through here many months ago and promised this young lady's sister a better life, lured her away. They haven't heard from her. She's gone.
We're fighting for children that can't fight for themselves, children that would be otherwise used in the sex trade or be bought and sold like animals for monetary gain. It's not right.
It's kids just like these that right now they're begging, but they are also bait for predators. If we don't get them off the street, they will be the next trafficked victims.
And when these children become enslaved and don't comply, horrible things are done to them by the human traffickers.
When I was a child, I seen a lot of things random my eyes.
They are cages somewhere like that. They are keeping a child as an animal. Just tied the hand, both hand like that, and that customer will be have a sex with that child.
It is tragic what's happening to children, innocent children, and it's not right. Our hearts are burdened by all the children that are crying out for help today, this moment, that need intervention, that need help, that are waiting for someone to hear their cries. And we can only do it with your help.
Oh, I tell you what, I just look at those little children. I love them. I can help get God's arms around them. I've had my arms around them. And all over the world, we've set free thousands and thousands of children and precious girls that are trafficked, held captive. They not only hold them as a prisoner, they try to get them hooked on drugs so they have that much more control of them. And I'm telling you, only the miracle and the love of God can get them free. And that's why we ask you to help us set these prisoners free. And Betty, we know it works. The love of God never fails. And these people have been so mistreated. We watch them be set free to a whole new life because of the love of God flowing through people who watch us and decide to become the miracle that the mothers of those children are praying for, that the families are praying for, that those girls and boys are hoping for, and we see that miracle.
Absolutely. Your help means so, so much. It means so much to these little girls that don't have a chance if we don't reach out and say, hey, we want to take you to a safe place. Some of these children, James, they were taken from their parents being told they would have a job or a better life or they would take care of them. And then when they get them away, separated from their family, they just mistreat them. So they lock them up in a room and then use them and use them and use them. They don't realize what's going on. They drug them to keep them there. And so God, please help you to know how much you would be able to help us free these children and take them to that safe haven where they can have a first time good night's sleep. Can you imagine what it would be like to just be trapped like that and think there was no hope? There's hope. Jesus is their hope, and we are part of serving Him with our whole hearts. So let's reach out in Jesus' name and let's help these little children.
We call this Mission Outreach Rescue Life. That's precisely what we're doing. Can't do it without you. It takes an average of $128 to reach, to rescue, and to restore those who are trapped. $128. Would you make that life-saving, life-giving gift? Think about this. 10 children can be helped for $1,280. Pray about that. Would you do that? We have gifts we're going to send you. One of the things we're going to send you is the most beautiful throw I've ever seen. This is just fabulous. And coming up in the cooler seasons, you're going to appreciate this. Would you please make a gift of $128? Could you give $1,280? Could you give even more? Right now, we have a facility that would immediately take 50 girls, and it's a beautiful place. Couldn't get it anywhere around here like that. It's inexpensive because it's in Asia, and it's easy to get and easy to fix. But we do need over $1 million, and we have a $500,000 need to complete that. So if you could make a large gift toward that, in addition to the 128 or whatever God leads you to do, please call right now. go online, take your bank card, use it like a check. If you write a check, make it to Life, because that's exactly what you're giving. And we'll send these blessings to you, but you're giving the greatest blessing. You're giving life in Christ because of the love of God that you share freely with your gifts. Thank you so much.
Innocent children longing to be loved and cared for are being abducted and sold into the evil industry of human trafficking. Through Mission Rescue Life, your gift today of only $128 will help reach, rescue, or restore a child and change their destiny forever. Gifts of $64 or $32 will be combined with support from others to help rescue one more child from the shame and pain of sexual slavery. Currently, our Life Rescue Centers in Southeast Asia are at maximum capacity. More space is urgently needed, and we must complete and renovate a new rescue home immediately. Please consider a very special extra gift, as we urgently need $1.25 million above our normal budget to complete and renovate this place of hope. With a gift of any amount, we'll send you power, provision, and peace, bringing together the life-changing truths of Acts, Romans, and 1st and 2nd Corinthians in the Passion Translation. These books come alive with fresh revelation and timeless power. With your gift of $128 or more, you'll receive the beautiful and soft Perfect Peace Blanket, bearing the words of Isaiah 26:3 as a meaningful reminder that those who trust in the Lord are never alone. Finally, please consider a gift of $1,280, which will help save 10 children. And you may request our inspiring bronze sculpture, Lion of Judah. Please call, write, or make your gift online.
Well, you've seen the gifts that we're going to send you, and if you would like to have Kimberly's book, you just ask for it. But make the gift to help. Would you do that? And I sure would love for you to have this throw. Betty, is it indescribably
beautiful? It's very nice, very lightweight, very cuddly feeling.
It's the prettiest I've ever seen and the most comfortable. So help us give peace and life to those who've been trafficked. Kimberly, thank you for sharing with us. Keep sharing Jesus, setting people free.
Thank you.
Thank all of you for watching Life Today and for sharing Life Today. God bless you.
Yourself away from the devil. They ask for everything, promise to set you free. You made a vow to your mother that you'd give your life to your father, the one who helped you see.
And that was the beginning of a long season of trusting the Lord. I never knew I'd sing again, speak again, write a book again.
Life Today is made possible by the supporters of Life Outreach International. Your gift will be used exclusively for the exempt purposes of Life. The ministry features specific outreaches as examples of the programs it supports and conducts. Gifts are considered to be without restriction as to use unless explicitly stipulated by the donor. The ministry is a member of the ECFA.